Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The provision of health services is a critical and significant mission within each branch of the U.S. military, as well as an integral part of the U.S. Department of Defense's military health system. MHS works to ensure that the total military force is medically ready to deploy and that the medical force is ready to deliver health care anytime, anywhere. This is no small feat considering the demands placed upon MHS are varied and many. These demands encompass increasing the readiness of service personnel, enhancing the experience of care, improving population health, and maximizing limited resources across the MHS enterprise. To meet these demands head-on involves leveraging innovation and advances in technology that are clinically relevant, technically feasible, and financially viable. How is the MHS creating an environment built on innovative technologies? What is the MHS doing to cultivate controlled innovation that supports the delivery of healthcare? How is the MHS facilitating synchronization across its technology portfolio? And what is being done to advance the development of interoperable health IT systems across DoD and the Department of Veterans Affairs? We will explore these questions and so much more with a very special guest, Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense's Military Health System. Mark, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Mark, I'd like to kick off our conversation with some context. Would you provide us with a brief overview of the history, mission, and continued evolution of DoD's health affairs, and in particular, the military health system?
Sure. The MHS was spawned out of the need for centralized medicine, better care, really around World War II timeframe, which came to strength as we were looking at a lot of our injured, ill and wounded, and their families in a whole view coming back from direct combat support. So from that, the MHS was really spawned to really help the Army, Navy, and Air Force and Coast Guard members engage in combat operations, provide a holistic view of healthcare and healthcare needs for them. And it's gotten even more as we get into more collaborative or joint ventures that we have, and the transformation to our next evolution with Defense Healthcare Agency, something that the Secretary has looked at that. So we've got members looking at how could we do it better and more efficiently for our customers and those entrusted to our care to deliver better outcomes in healthcare in a proactive and reactive manner.
And sort of that's been the impetus for creating the office that you now lead. Would you give us a brief overview of the history and evolving mission of the Office of Chief Technology Officer within MHS? What was the genesis of the office?
Sure. Back in 2010 the NDA report 716 came to the department to look at really the MHS as a whole, and to look and do maps and gaps of any areas that they saw that needed some refinement, again, to help us deliver better care and to be more from our fiduciary and from our clinical responsibilities. From that, one of the gaps was a need for a technologist integration area. So the CTO was stood up in 2010 to bridge between the technical aspects of how we enable missions to be accomplished to the business requirements, so we can satisfy that with an IT enabling capability in a manner that's not only allows us to look at the mission threads that are unique for the Army, Navy, and Air Force, but to look at the enterprise as well. So when we capture that data, that we have an enterprise effect of that data as we look at our very transient population, that we capture that data in the most efficient manner so we can put the right data to the right person at the right time. And so that's really my kind of role, is to serve as that bridge between our business or functional communities to that of IT-enabling technologists, so we can have a big city planning kind of organization.
So with that kind of a mission, an enterprise-wide mission, could you tell us how your office is organized and how many folks do you have helping you out?
So we really have a kind of a slim staff, but some of the best, right? So I think no more than 15 people inside the CTO's organization. I have a lieutenant colonel who helps with with our innovation of mobile. So we're starting to develop those strategies for how we look at innovation, how we look at mobile solutions, how we align mobile solutions with the larger Department of Defense and with those people on the outside. So personal health record for our customers, so they can download the information on one of their mobile media devices to take with them to the next, you know, care setting. So whether it's inside the four walls of our facilities or outside to some of our managed care partners, how do we transcribe that data both internally and externally for our patients? I have another cell that does we call dynamic business capability mapping to apply the science of tangible evidence-based to sequencing and investments across a broad spectrum that is very complex, that encompasses a lot of organizations and a lot of pieces. So we really took a lot of the motion out of that by looking at, you know, what's best for the business, what hits the requirements, as that's a driver force for our HIT innovation. Is requirements drive. So what are we doing to satisfy the technical, the clinical, and the financial aspects of that to bring those three pieces together to look at a methodology as we do city planning to sequence on investments to hit not only the near term today, tomorrow, and in the future where we want to be. And so that's how we've kind of evolved the office to break that out in some of those cells.
Yeah, I'd like to understand the idea of a chief technology officer, but more particularly, it's a new phenomenon, relatively new phenomenon in the public sector. And I was wondering, how does it fit within MHS, and what is your role exactly? What's your day-to-day like?
Hectic. I'd say that's my day-to-day life. But really, it's become the advisor to the CIO and to the stakeholders that I support. So I fundamentally see myself supporting all those men and women, right, that really deliver the direct care, whether it's the business applications or it's the direct clinical applications, to provide a foundational element of support and understanding of how we do that. So I put together packages, courses of action, recommendations based upon the best technical enabling capability to allow us to meet, again, today's demands and to grow into tomorrow's without having to do a refactoring of that technology to provide some of those architectural frameworks that allows us to have standard and interoperability not only today inside, but tomorrow with our direct care partners or those that we're sharing information with.
So leading an office that has the tension between today and tomorrow, anticipating tomorrow and innovations that are going to help you realize success in the future, what are your top three challenges that you face and how have you sought to really address them?
Sure. Top challenges really, as you can imagine, a lot of communication and coordination. We stand up some governance boards that allow us to do that. We have an engineering control board, an architectural compliance board, and a portfolio board to look at the financial aspects of that. So new ideas and or projects come through those boards for the CIO. So again, we can deem more evidence-based decisions to put better courses of action or recommendations to our senior leaders to allow that to happen. The second one really is just the messaging, getting the message out to our stakeholders, whether they're at an MTF in Launchtool or they're, you know, right here in the National Capital Region, consistency of messaging and really what we're going, what we're doing. We use that through what we call long-range technical architecture and planning. So we do the 1, 3, and 5. And then we kind of look a little bit more in the future to the 7 to 8 years of really where HIT is, because we wouldn't saw genomics on the screen, you know, applying drugs to certain, you know, genes and what we make up as human beings. But now it's in our space, right? So that's and then how do I deal with what kind of systems do I use to exchange that data? What kind of, right, FDA compliance do we need to have to really start, again, leaning forward so we can do more genomics and genomic mapping on drug and drug therapies? So that's a big one for our space, I think, now that we're getting more involved with our clinical counterparts about how the requirements need to be transcribed to an IT capability. But the LRA, really back to that one, allows all of our services and all those components that do business with us to really have the seat at the table as we plan this as a whole, as a village, right? So we can ensure that we are not only meeting the unique mission of each service, but that we have compliance into the enterprise level. And that's kind of mine first is, you know, the joint first architecture is one of our HIT principles, our health information technology principles, is that really joint first has to be the way. Because, you know, when you start building stuff in silos, you know, where we were at, you know, but a few years ago, and we're doing the transformation now, it's all about the data, right? To the right data to the right person at the right time to make a decision on that. And so that's really helped us a lot to do that. And we do that on a yearly basis to see where we've been, how we measure where we've been, where we're going, and do we meet the missions and objectives that we laid forward on that map. So it's an evolving roadmap to where we want to be. And it could change with strategic directions from our senior stakeholders or from those that directed us from the, you know, the Hill or anything else, right, or the White House, to take on different challenges and different unique packages that we, the MHS, experience, unlike any other organization. So it's very, very good, and it really helps visualize where we want to be and codify the mission that we're going to hit and the objectives we want to achieve.
Well, actually, we've had this conversation. I'd be remiss in not asking you, could you give us the definition or the distinction between a chief technology officer and a chief information officer? How are they different? And it doesn't have to be a long response. It's just give us a sense of the difference.
So I think the applied space between a CIO and a CTO, I think the CIO is really more focused on the policies and the governance to the business that allows execution of technology to happen. And then the CTO is that applied science space where, you know, he or she looks at what's in the portfolio, what needs to be satisfied, what are the policies and rules and regulations allow us to orchestrate these enabling capabilities out there to meet the business objectives and quantify that. And so, I mean, you see a lot of the CIOs have a lot of, especially in our space, Title 40, Clinger Cohen, right? A lot of compliance for funding being spent on IT to ensure that those meet the requirements they're destined for. And then how do you measure and monitor that for compliancy? And then how's that really organizationally, that person is kind of, I see as a spokesman or spokeswoman for where we're going and how do we do that. So really my LRA with him or her helps shape kind of the future for how we would deliver products and services from an IT standpoint and how that would sequence and the investment inside the portfolio.
So Mark, given your career and your experience, what in your mind are characteristics of an effective leader and who's influenced your leadership style?
Sure. So influence is really a lot of my naval time. Again, I had the pleasure of serving as a U.S. Navy corpsman, right? Couldn't ask for a better job and a more humbling service to have. And from that, you have a lot of very caring people in there. And so one of my strengths that I took on from my leaders was the ability to humble yourself, right? To put yourself into another person's shoes. And you see that a lot with patient interaction, right? So it's one thing to be standing beside the bed, it's another thing to be in the bed. And so that paradigm really helps you kind of shift about what's really important to you. So I think listening and understanding and trying to put yourself in those shoes is a great leadership point of view, and to be able to do that. And so, like I said, had the unique opportunity to serve in that clinical role. So I really understand our doctors a lot better and what some of their challenges are with, right, what grand rounds and other things that really proliferates the care at facilities that is the day-to-day bread and butter of what we do. And so that's been a good one for me. And, you know, the Navy's the honor, courage, commitment, and caring for our Navy core values. And so that really helps to take this along. So I think that's one, to be able to communicate efficiently and effectively, to be able to really paint through words the visualization of where you want to be, and to, again, understand that not everybody understands technology, and to be able to translate that into, you know, lowest common denominator in which that makes sense to people. Because, you know, you can talk about flux capacitor and lithium crystals all day, but people just get the glared-eyed. But if you can't translate that, then you're really not an efficient leader, and you're probably not, in my opinion, a SME in your field, a subject matter expert, because you should be able to say myocardial infraction equals heart attack. Well, people understand heart attack, right? But MI, probably not so much. And so I think that ability to communicate, and paint really the future, and then have the understanding from those people that you're in the position because you've checked the boxes, and not just that you were put up there, that you've earned the spot to be there. I think that alone says a lot about leadership.
How is MHS creating an environment built on innovative technologies? We will ask Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense's Military Health System, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.